as you look back on your life of performance in so many areas, and stage and radio and teaching, do any of them stand out as bringing you the most pleasure, or how would you talk about that?
Well, at the time I was deciding to change majors, I had no idea what was ahead. Then suddenly I was teaching. That pretty much shaped the rest of my life. And as I look back now on all those years at TU, teaching, but at the same time getting to do some broadcasting myself, I just feel I had the best of all possible worlds. It seems to me that staying here in Tulsa was definitely the right thing for me to do. Everything I have done in my life, I think, has been for the best.
Do you think, as we talk about your life and reflect on it, how it all really started with your mother taking you to elocution classes when you were 5 years old?
That was the first step.
Probably you would have gravitated toward acting or of some sort anyway.
That was my inclination. My parents weren't very sympathetic with the idea of being an actor in Hollywood or anywhere else for that matter, because there was an element there of license that my religious family would not have tolerated, and I wouldn't fit in. If I had gone to Hollywood or New York, I would not have fit in with the general milieu, as they say. And that's why I'm reconciled to the fact that I did exactly what was right for me here in Tulsa, Oklahoma.
As we will think about you and as we remember Ed Dumit, we'll always remember that beautiful voice of yours.
Oh, as Queen Victoria said, too kind, too kind.
How would you like to be remembered?
Well, as an advocate of the arts, just a few months ago, I was inducted into the honorary women's music fraternity that every year gives an award to what they call Friend of the Arts. I have always advocated the arts. I like to think that I have been a friend. Now, there are a couple of other announcers in town who did a small number of classical concert broadcasts years ago, but I'm the only one who has specialized in that type of thing. So I don't know what the music scene on the air would be like in Tulsa if I had not come along with this special interest. So I would like to be known as a friend of the arts. I'm not a great singer, and I don't play the piano publicly for anyone.
We can't finish this without saying, you talk about friends of the arts. A friend of yours and your former boss was Dr. Ben Hennecke.
Yes.
You and I interviewed him, and that's heard elsewhere on this website, Dr. Ben Graf Hennecke. A little reflection on him, because he certainly gave you a huge break.
Definitely. When you asked me to join you in questioning him, he was in a wheelchair and on oxygen, and I thought, well, this interview, if we really get through it, will be about a half hour at the most. And as you well know, he talked for 3 hours, wasn't it?
Almost 3 hours.
With a couple of stops, just long enough for the nurse to adjust his oxygen, and he was 95 years old.
Yeah.
He died a month and a half later. If you had not initiated that interview, we wouldn't have that wonderful 3 hours of reminiscences. His mind was so sharp. I envy him that very much. He remembers conversations from Bill Skelly and other people when he was starting KWGS. He was able to quote word for word conversations. He did so much for his students. That's something else. You were asking me about which ones have become famous. Sometimes when I would talk too much about the ones who were famous, he would remind me that we, of course, have many other students who have done very well in other branches of broadcasting, as managers, as news directors, all over the country. And this is quite true. They're just not nationally known names. But they've done well, and during the time I was there at KWGS, we were sending announcers to almost all of the Tulsa stations. Every station had a student from KWGS. there again, the local stations aren't as likely to hire very young people like that.
Richard Dowdell was a newsman.
Dowdell has done very well. He was hired very quickly by KRMG and was on the news staff for 40 years more.
Right.
He's certainly a well-known name in Tulsa. Scooter Seagraves. Scooter was very bright, but he didn't want people to know how bright he was. And still is. I'm still in touch with him. He has had a good career as a regional announcer. And I remember in the announcing class, when we were doing our disc jockey stuff, they were using all the cliches. And one day I said, I'm going to fail you on this assignment if one of you dares to say, I see by the clock on the wall that it's time to go. Well, the next week, when Scooter Seagraves was doing his assignment, I shuddered because he started to say, I see by the clock, but he said, on the floor, that it's time to go. I had to give him an A for creativity, even with a cliché.
Well, can I say then, I see by the clock on the ceiling that it's probably time for us to go too?
Well, I'm highly insulted because you haven't gone on 10 hours with me. I am so grateful to you. One of my biggest recent surprises was when you called and said you wanted to interview me. My response immediately was, I'm not in the same league with the other people you've interviewed for this series on the Internet.
But this whole website is about everybody's story, and you've got a great story. People are going to be fascinated to listen to it. They don't know all of it. They now know. And I want to thank you for what you've done for the arts, what you've done for broadcasting. It's fun to hear your voice still today on KWGS.
Well, it's kind of fading, but at 82, I still occasionally do some commercials and some special programs.
Well, thank you, Ed. I appreciate this very much.
Thank
much
you.
Fun.
As they say on the network, thank you for having me.